page 356. Eduard Fuchs, collector and historian. 1. Quoted in Gustav Meyer, Friedrich Engels, Volume 2, Friedrich Engels und der Aufstieg der Arbeiterbewegung in Europa, Berlin, pages 450-451. 2. This thought appears in the earliest studies in Feuerbach and is expressed by Marx as follows. There is no history of politics, of law, of science, of art, of religion, and so on. Marx, Engels, Archiv, 1, editor David Ryazanov, Frankfurt am Main, 1928, 301. 3. It is the dialectical construct, construction, which distinguishes that which is our original concern in historical experience from the pieced together findings of actuality. That which is original, ursprünglich, never identifies itself in the naked, obvious existence of the factual. The rhythm of the original opens itself solely to the double insight. This insight concerns the pre- and post-history of the original. Walter Benjamin, Ursprung des deutschen Trauerspiels, Berlin, 1928, page 32. 4. Erotische Kunst, 1, page 70. 5. Gavarni, page 13. 6. Fuchs's major works have been collected and published by Albert Langen of Munich as Hauptwerke. These include Illustrierte Sittengeschichte vom Mittelalter bis zur Gegenwart, Volume 1, Renaissance, Volume 2, Die galante Zeit, Volume 3, Das bürgerliche Zeitalter, also Supplementary, Volumes 1 through 3, here cited as Sittengeschichte. Geschichte der erotischen Kunst, Volume 1, das zeitgeschichtliche Problem, Volume 2, das individuelle Problem, Part 1, Volume 3, das individuelle Problem, Part 2, hier cited as erotische Kunst, die Karikatur der europäischen Völker, Volume 1, vom Altertum bis zum Jahre 1848, Volume 2, vom Jahre 1848 bis zum Vorabend des Weltkrieges, hier cited as Karikatur. Anori Domier, Holzschnitte und Lithografien, Volume 1, Holzschnitte, Volumes 2 through 4. Lithografien, hier cited as Domier, der Maler Domier, Gavarni, die großen Meister der Erotik, Tang, Plastik, chinesische Grabmalkeramik des 7. bis 10. Jahrhunderts, Dachreiter und verwandte chinesische Keramik des 15. bis 18. Jahrhunderts. Apart from these works, Fuchs dedicated special works to the character of women, of the Jews and of the World War. 7. A. Max, zur Frage der Organisation des Proletariats der Intelligenz. Die Neue Zeit, 13, Part 1, Stuttgart, 1895, 645. Page 357. 8. Nietzsche wrote as early as 1874. Finally, there results the generally acclaimed popularization in science. This is the notorious tailoring of science's coat for the figures of a mixed public, to use a tailor-like activity for a tailor-like German. The author, Friedrich Nietzsche, vom Nutzen und Nachteil der Historie für das Leben, unzeitgemäße Betrachtungen, 1, Leipzig, 1893, page 168. 9. A cultural historian who takes his task seriously must always write for the masses. Erotische Kunst, 2, part 1, preface. 10. C. Korn, Proletariat und Klassik, Die Neue Zeit, 26, Part 2, Stuttgart, 1908, 414 through 417. 11. See August Bebel, Die Frauen der Sozialismus, Stuttgart, 1891, pages 177 through 179, and pages 333 through 336. And the Changes in Housekeeping through Technology, pages 200-201. on women as inventor. 12. Quoted in Die Bach, John Ruskin, Die Neue Zeit, 18, Part 1, Stuttgart, 1907-28. 13. This deceptive element found characteristic expression in Alfred Weber's welcoming address to the Sociological Convention of 1912. Culture comes into existence only when life has become a structure which stands above its necessities and usefulness. This concept of culture contains seed of barbarism, which have, in the meantime, germinated. Culture appears as something which is superfluous for the continued existence of life, but is felt to be precisely the reason for which life is there. In short, culture exists after the fashion of an artwork, which perhaps brings about the confusion of entire modes of living and life principles, and which may have dissolving and destructive effects, but which we shall feel to be higher than everything healthy and living which it destroys. 25 years after this was said, cultural states have seen it as an honor to resemble such artworks, even to be such artworks. Alfred Weber, Der soziologische Kulturbegriff, Verhandlungen des zweiten Deutschen Soziologentages, Schriften der Deutschen Gesellschaft für Soziologie. 1, Part 1, Tübingen, 1913, 11 through 12. 14, Franz Mehring, Akademisches, Die Neue Zeit, 16, Part 1, Stuttgart, 1898, 195 through 196. 15, Erotische Kunst, 1, 125. Constant reference to contemporary art belongs to the most important impulses of Fuchs's The Collector. Contemporary art, too, comes to him partially through the great creation of the past. His incomparable knowledge of older characters opens Fuchs to an early recognition of the works of a Toulouse-Lautrec, a Hartfield, and a George Crouch. His passion for Daumier leads him to the works of Slevogt, whose conception of Don Quixote appears before his eyes as the only one which could hold its own besides Daumier. His studies in ceramics gives him all the authority to sponsor an Emil Pattner. All his life, Fuchs has friendly relations with creative artists. Thus, it is not surprising that his manner of addressing works of art corresponds more to the ways of an artist than those of a historian. 16. The master of iconographic representation might be Emily Mallet. His research is limited to the sculpture of French cathedrals from the 12th to the 15th centuries. Thus, they do not overlap with Fuchs's study. Page 358. 17. Heinrich Wölflin, Die klassische Kunst, Munich, 1899, page 275. 18. Older tablet painting, Tafelmalerei, granted no more than an outline of a house to men for their quarters. The painters of the early Renaissance were the first to depict interior space in which they represented figures have room to move. This is what they've made of Arcello's invention of perspective, so overpowering both for his contemporaries and himself. From then on, the creations of paintings were dedicated more than before to the inhabitants rather than to praying persons. Paintings gave examples of patterns of habitation and never tired of erecting perspectives of the villa. The High Renaissance, also much more restrained in the representation of the actual interior, continued to build on this foundation. The Cinquecento has a particularly strong feeling for the relation between man and building, that is, for the renaissance of a beautiful room. This century can hardly imagine an existence which is not architectonically framed and founded. Wölflin, page 227. 19, Erotische Kunst, 2, part 1, 20. 20, Franz Mehring, Geschichte der deutschen Sozialdemokratie, Part 2, von Lasalles, offenem Antwortschreiben bis zum Erfurter Programm, Volume 3, Part 2 of Geschichte des Sozialismus in Einzeldarstellungen, Stuttgart, 1898, page 546. 21, Karikatur, 1, 4 through 5. 22. Note the beautiful remark about Daumier's figures of proletarian women. Whoever sees merely emotional themes proves that the ultimate motive, forces which must be effective in order to create stirring art, are sealed book to him. Precisely because these pictures represent something altogether different from emotional themes, they will live eternally. As the moving monument of the enslavement of maternal woman in the 19th century, Der Maler Daumier, page 28. 23, Tongue Plastic, page 44. 24, note the thesis on the erotic effects of the work of art. The more intensive the effect, the greater the artistic quality. Erotische Kunst, 168. 25, Karikatur, page 23. 26, Dachreiter, page 39. 27, Die großen Meister der Erotik, page 115. 28, Dachreiter, page 48. 29, Erotische Kunst, 2, part 1, 186. Page 359. 30, Tongueplastic, page 30 through 31. This intuitive and immediate manner of consideration becomes problematic when it attempts to fulfill the demands of the situation of a materialist analysis. It is well known that Marx did not intensively elaborate anywhere on how the relationship between superstructure and infrastructure can be thought of in individual cases. It can only be firmly established that he envisaged a series of mediations, transmissions, one might say, which interpolate between the material relationships of production and the more removed domains of the superstructure, which includes art. Plekhanov says the same. When art, which is created by the higher classes, stands in no direct relations to the process of production, then this must ultimately be explained by means of economic causes. The materialist interpretation of history can be applied in this case as well. It is apparent, however, that the casual connection which doubtlessly exists between being and consciousness, between the social relations which are founded on labor on the one hand and art on the other, do not come easily to force in this case. G. Plekhanov. Dass französische Malerei im 19. Jahrhundert vom Standpunkt der materialistischen Geschichtsauffassung die neue Zeit 24, Stuttgart 1911, 554 through 545. So much is clear, however. Marx's classical historical dialectic considers causal contingencies as given in this relationship. In later praxis, he had become more lax and was often content with analogies. It is possible that this was connected to the project of replacing bourgeois histories of literature and art by materialistic ones, which are planned on an equally grand scale. This project is a characteristic mark of the epoch. It is part of the Wilhelminian spirit. This project demanded its tribute from Fuchs as well. A favorite thought of the author, which is expressed in various ways, conceived of establishing realistic art epochs for the trading nations. This goes for Holland of the 17th century as well as for China of the 8th and 9th centuries. Beginning with an analysis